I'm on it.
You're over 39.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy, I think no one said sure.
Good morning. Time to begin our morning worship service. Before we do, we have a few announcements we'd like to make. I'd like to welcome everybody out this morning. Although the weather's not very pretty outside, it's still a beautiful Lord's Day morning. We get to assemble as the children of God and worship the Master and Creator of the universe and a risen Savior. It's indeed great to be here. So we'd like to welcome our visitors. We do have some visiting with us, and we'd like to invite you back when you have opportunity. We'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. for a worship service, and then again at 7 p.m. Wednesday for Bible study. Just a few announcements to make. We do have some members who are on the sick list. The Lichtenberg family is homesick. Apparently they are battling pink eye, so it's a very contagious illness. So let's remember them in our prayers. TJ is also homesick this morning, so let's remember him. We do have some members who are out of town as well. Both Tim and Janet Clark are out of town. Tim's out of town on work, and Janet went to visit him. So I think Janet is due back tomorrow. So she'll be flying back, so let's remember her. And then, of course, I think Tim will be coming back Friday, so let's remember them. And then this morning, Carrie is in Louisville picking up her mother. Her mother had surgery, knee surgery, about a week or two ago, and so she was in a rehab facility, and now she's coming home. So that's where Carrie's at. Concerning some of the upcoming news, I have Andrew Nevins down for the Wednesday night invitation. The ladies Bible class is coming up, and it will be Monday, May 12th, and it will be at the home of the Latinis. So go ahead and make, for the ladies, go ahead and make a note of that on your calendar. That's all the announcements I have. Those taking part in the worship service this morning, our song leader will be Tony Barron. He selected song number 456. If you want to go ahead and turn there, song number 456. Dan Latini will be leading our opening prayer at the appropriate time. Heading to the Lord's Supper is Martin Evans, and he'll be assisted by Kevin Keach. And at the close of service, we'll ask Dave Dickerson to lead our minds in closing prayer. So that's all the announcements I have at this time. Let's take out songbooks now. We'll join singing praises to God.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow.
No tears, no tears. 247. 247. Sing a song before opening prayer. 247.
Here we are, strange pilgrims here, our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey still, we sing this wayside hymn, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansion rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the
chance to be able to worship together. We're thankful that we were all able to take this time to choose to spend singing out to your name, to come to you in prayer, to study another portion of your word, all these things that we've been commanded to do on this morning. We pray that everything that we do this morning, we've looked to your word for the pattern on how that should be done, and that we are doing all these things in accordance with that word. We're doing all these things for you and you alone, not our own glory or our own ego. Father, we pray that as we go throughout our worship this morning, we're all earnest, that we're all eagerly seeking you. Father, we can grow closer in our relationships with you, that we might be able to become better servants of yours here on this earth. Pray, Father, for our work here in this local community, as we have found some success in the previous months. We pray that more opportunities to spread your word might come our way. Likewise, Father, we pray for the endeavors that we are going through as a congregation to try and continue that work, particularly this building that we are trying to secure funding for, Father. We're thankful for that, to the opportunity for something like this, and we pray that if we can secure that place, that we'll be able to use it as a place where we can worship you and continue to do so without any concerns of the outside world. Father, I pray you'll be with our elders and our deacons as they make decisions related to this project, that they'll remember to look to you in that regard, but in all the things that they have showed the responsibilities that they've taken for this local congregation. We pray that as members that we can give them the respect that those offices do, that we can support them in their work, and that all of us together as a congregation can try to succeed in these things for the sake of your son. We pray, Father, for those who aren't able to be with us this morning. We have members who are away from us and ill. We pray that their health might be restored, that they can return and worship with us. We have members who have had surgeries and things like that here recently. We pray that they can continue to recover so that they might also continue and work with us. We do also have members who are away from us, traveling and for other reasons. Father, we pray likewise that they'll have safe journeys, that they could be returned to us at the next point in time. But Father, we also have individuals we know who have fallen away from you in recent days, recent months. We pray that if there are opportunities, that we might be able to say something that could prick their heart, they would seek to be restored to you, so that we could all continue here and in this work once more. We pray all these things this morning in your Son's holy and blessed name, Father. We know that without him, we would not have a hope of heaven. In Christ's name we pray at this time. Amen.
Amen. Number 12. Number 12. We sing this before we take the Lord's Supper. We'll sing four of the five stanzas, and then we'll sing the chorus at the last. Number 12.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he behold that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, like the sun in darkness high, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Just got finished singing the song. We need to bring our minds out of the world and reflect upon that event of the cross, the night that before his crucifixion, Jesus instituted his Lord's Supper in remembrance of those events. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this Lord's Day to come to assemble to worship thee, and in this portion of worship to reflect upon those events of the cross, for the giving of your Son, and for Jesus' willingness to come and to bear the sins of the world upon that cross. We pray, Father, that you would bless this bread that represents his body. We pray that we would defend ourselves in a worthy manner. In Christ's most holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. continue us, Father, as we bring our minds out of the world and reflect upon that cross there at Calvary. We pray, Father, that you can bless this fruit of the vine that represents Jesus' blood. Pray, Father, that we do so on well planned and pleasing in thy sight. Christ, my holy name. Amen. Amen. Continuance of our worship, we are commanded to lay by in store for purpose in our hearts, not grudgingly, but have the eldership here to continue to work in this locality. It's also to be a good steward of what God has given us as far as the blessings of this world. We would pray with you. Father in heaven, as we continue to worship thee, we pray, Father, that we have purpose in our hearts and minds to give back a portion of the blessings that you've given each one of us. We know we do not deserve those blessings, and that they are given freely through you and through your Son, Jesus. We pray, Father, that we are good stewards of those blessings, and we give a portion back so that this work here can be in continuance to proclaim thy word and spread thy gospel. In Christ's most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Willing and able, we'll stand and sing 111. 111 for Brother Chuck bring this whole lesson this morning. 111. Come we that love the Lord and let our joy be known.
Join in the song which we accord. Join in the song which we accord. And the sun around the throne and doves around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
The hills
of Zion yields a thousand sacred trees. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Please be seated. Song of invitation is number 23.
Joy to see you all this morning. So excited to be back home. I told Debbie that when I got back Friday night. I missed my church family. And told Keith this morning, I said, TJ's homesick. I said, he's not missing California. He's homesick. A little humor there to start off. But folks, we are so excited about the work here and the things that we're doing. When you get emails from people who want to help out with our effort of getting this new building, people from Alabama, people from Owensboro, people from here, people just want to see this transpire. I mean, it's an exciting time. You know, when you have that goal of 225,000 and we're up to 28,000. It's just a blessing. So we need to continue to pray for that. I want you to keep praying for that. Keep it in your minds. And talk it up. Anyways, let's get into our Bible study this morning. I want us to be turning to Thessalonians, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there's a phrase here that jumped out at me. Verse 13 of chapter 4. And when you stop and think about it, especially if you have visitors come in, this is written to Christians. It's written to the church at Thessalonica. And Paul says to them, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you have sorrow, as others who have no hope. I'm not going to talk about what the brethren were ignorant about here. I'm not going to do that. Yes, the brethren there thought that they had to be alive when Jesus came back in order to go to heaven. They misunderstood. That was that whole text. But get the idea here. So I don't want you, brethren, to be ignorant. Did you get that? These are Christians. Things they didn't know, either knew or forgot about. You see, that's important. Because, folks, there are things that I want us to know as Christians and if you're not a Christian, to understand. The angle that I'm taking about, or that I'm taking this morning, is if these Christians, these people who heard the gospel and obeyed it, if there's something that Paul says you don't know, where does that leave the person who's not a Christian? Think about that. Where does that leave the person who's not a Christian? They know even less. Okay? There are things that they are ignorant about. Ignorant don't mean as a slam. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. My car breaks down, I'm ignorant. I have no idea. Computer breaks down, Dan, I'm ignorant. I don't say that on the phone, but the point is that there's things I just don't know. And there's things you don't know, okay? So I don't mean it as a slam. It's just saying, I don't want you to be unaware. There are things that we don't know, a lot. And I want us to be aware of the fact that there are Christians who don't know things. But my focus today is we need to learn that there are people who are not Christians who don't know things. You need to be aware of what they don't know in the area of conversion. You know that there are times when there are people who need to be baptized into Christ, but they don't get baptized into Christ. It's because they're unaware of certain things. They misunderstand certain things. These brethren actually thought, man, we got to be alive when Jesus comes back or we're going to miss heaven. Well, you thought wrong, as Paul's been. You're just thinking wrong. I'm going to tell you the truth. And there are times when people have sat in their seat, people I have studied with. I can still remember Gloria. Well, you can come up and talk to me, but you know others have tried, and I've got this obstacle, and I don't believe I can overcome that obstacle. We go up and have a Bible study, boom, obstacle is gone, she gets baptized. She thought it was something big. She misunderstood something. And so there are non-Christians, and I'm going to talk about that to you so that you can help your friends and family and neighbors and strangers, when you get talking about becoming a Christian, you can say, well, you wouldn't say this, I don't want you to be ignorant, but you want them to know that they think things that are wrong, and you need to clear that up. And perhaps there might even be some here today that have not become a Christian, that have not been baptized into Christ, but you're saying, well, Chuck, there's a reason I haven't been, because here's what I think. And I'm going to say to you this morning, I don't want you to be ignorant, friend. And brethren, we need to be aware of these things in order to help people to become Christians. And the one that you'll hear often, the one that you'll hear often, is, Chuck, I'm not ready to become a Christian. I have family or I have friends that, you know, I know they're praying for me, and I know sometimes during the invitation they're even looking at me or they're even thinking, and they want me to become a Christian, but I can't become a Christian. Why? Well, because I think I don't know enough. I'm just convinced I don't know enough to become a Christian. As you turn over to the book of Acts, I love this text over here in Acts chapter 8. Because what you have here is you have a man that was just reading the scriptures in verse 28. Reading Isaiah the prophet. The preacher goes to him and says to him in verse 30, he ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? See, there's a person, well, I don't understand something. Well, I get that. I don't want you to not understand that you do need to understand, but I don't want you to misunderstand that you have to know everything. Okay? Did you follow that? Okay. I want you to understand that you do need to understand stuff. But how much do you need to understand? You know, when Lee and I were camping years ago, she's the only one of the three kids who liked to camp. That girl is sitting there like these girls, right here on the front row. These girls, my daughter had heard me preach for ever since she was younger than them. Where's the small one? Well, when Tabitha gets me. That young, just heard my preaching. Didn't say she understood it from the beginning. But that girl understood, or you know, heard me preach time and time and time again, how to become a Christian. So we're camping one time, and I'm fishing, and she's paddling the canoe, she's paddling up. Got to get it right, because I was just asking, and she's paddling. And she started asking me questions about salvation. Immediately I went, come on. You know this. But I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't come. I didn't shoot my back to me. I said, what? I've got some questions about baptism, Dad. I've been thinking about it. Okay. What do you want to know? And so just ask me some just fundamental things about becoming a Christian. Just like you have those in Acts chapter 2, right? They were preached Jesus. You need to understand who Jesus is. But that she wasn't asking who Jesus was. That she was taught since a child. She wasn't asking about who Jesus was and whether she needed to believe in him. Her big thing was wanting to understand, like a lot of people today, said, I just don't know, like, how much do you actually need to know to go down under the waters of baptism? How much do you need to know? And I'm thinking, you know what, I guess I never really made that clear. I guess I just assume people just need to come to that on their own. And I don't want them to be ignorant. I want them to understand that, you know, there are prerequisites. There are certain things you need to know, but you don't need to know everything. Because some people have said to me that, you know what, Chuck, well, after I learn it all, then I will. You never will. You'll never obey. I'm going to tell you straight, you'll never obey. We're all still learning. Every one of us are still learning here. But the fundamentals that you find, you can't find anything better than what you have in Acts chapter 2, because here are people. It's the first sermon after Jesus goes back to heaven. First sermon. So what are the fundamentals that they had to learn? They had to learn who Jesus was and that they were in sin. Sin is transgression of law. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned. But you have there in Acts chapter 2 that they realized that they were told they had sinned. Look at verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly this God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. You crucified. You need to realize that you have transgressed the commands of God in one way or another. You either thought the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, didn't do something you should have done. Everybody here has transgressed who's old enough to understand that it's been right and wrong. And now when they understood this, they were, look at verse 37, they were cut to the heart. What's that mean? They believed the message. Look, you're not cut to the heart unless you believe it. Okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that you are in sin? Yes. See, when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what shall they do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent. Yeah, you have to turn away. It's a change of mind, folks. I mean, they're just sitting there. I mean, you have to picture this. This is what I want people to fully understand. He's preaching to an audience of people, just like I'd be preaching to you. And if I turned over there and said, Kelsey, repent. She's like sitting there. Well, do I go somewhere or something? What do I do to repent? You can repent sitting there. How do you repent just sitting there? Change your mind. So you know what? I have been following myself. I've been serving self. I'm going to repent. It means to turn about, folks. It's a 180. I remember years ago I said, it's a 360. Well, no, you go right back into sin. It's a 180. You know, you're going to quit following self and serve the Lord. Repent. What else did he say, by the way? He said, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. See, you're baptized into Christ's death, and so that's why you needed the understanding of who Jesus is. Now, Romans chapter 10 added something that he didn't mention here, but it basically, it's going to come into play a little bit later. But the idea is, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, verse 10. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's what you read in Acts chapter 8. When he said, well, there's water, what hinders me? Yes, there are things that can hinder you. That's why I know you have to understand something. You have to have that understanding that baptism does also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. You're not saved before that. Sometimes people think you're saved before baptism, the baptism into Christ. Who thought that? Acts 19. In Acts 19, you had people thought, well, we're already Christians. No, you have not been baptized into Christ. And so that's one of those big hurdles. You need to understand that your answers for salvation are found here, which really is the foundational principle of respecting authority. The answers are found here. So you can become a Christian. You can be born again. Now, you take a new baby like Tabitha. Ask me this. How much does Tabitha know right now? How much does she know? She's what? A month old? I don't know. That's the grandparents. They got it down to the minute. No, 21 days and 31 seconds. How much does she know? She doesn't know that much. Okay? It's not a perfect parallel, but you know what? She was brought into this world. And you are born again. You become a child of God. You are considered a babe in Christ. is what he describes. There's no shame in that. When you're born again, he calls you as newborn babe, as Peter talked about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby, because you become a babe in Christ. He said, well, you know, I would become a Christian, but I don't want to be a babe. Sorry, you all have to. You have to. No, no, no. Chuck, I am going to learn it all, and when I come up out of the waters of baptism, I am a mature Christian. No. There's a lot you have to learn. You may have a lot of knowledge, okay? But hey, you just turned your back on sin, and now you're going to serve Him? Now, there's some other things. Let's get into the next one. Not only do people think I need to know more, what else are they ignorant about? Well, here it is. Go to 1 John. And that is this. Chuck, I would obey. I wanted to be baptized a long time ago. But I just don't think I'm going to be perfect. I've had actually guys tell me that. So I just know going into this. I know my eyes are wide open. I'm not going to be perfect. Okay. Why is that? I don't want you to be ignorant, friend. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. This would be friend. I don't want you to misunderstand. Because here's a passage that's written to Christians. So in 1 John chapter 1, he said to Christians in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not within us. Where is that perfect person? I'll tell you what happens. I tell them, I says, look, you're worried about the fact that you're not going to be perfect. You know what? The Lord is warning me, and I would tell this person, the Lord is even warning me over in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 3, this, he says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I'm wanting to tell him, look, I have to be careful. I'm not having this arrogant attitude that I'm perfect. Now, that's not permission to sin, because then I would go on to talk about 1 John chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 1. I write these things to you that you sin not. No, I'm not. This is not permission. I wouldn't try to convince somebody to become a Christian. You know, like if Warren there is not a Christian, and I said Warren, and Warren says, well, Chuck, I just don't think I can be perfect. He says, look, if I'm not, it's okay. God's going to accept you anyway. I don't want to convince him to be baptized to say it's okay. You can sin. I don't want to convey that to anybody, not at all. It's wrong. But the good news is when you become a Christian, you don't have to get baptized over and over and over again. First, you know, Chuck, I've been baptized. You know, I don't want to get baptized again. I guess that could add that to the list. No, but once you're in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in Christ, let me use this here. If this is being in Christ, okay, that's what happens to people when they're baptized. You're baptized into Christ. When you're in Christ, guess what? You enjoy all those spiritual blessings that are in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And one of those spiritual blessings that he mentions in verse 17 is forgiveness of sins. You can pray for forgiveness. You can pray. See, over here, you're not going to pray for forgiveness of sins. I didn't say you couldn't pray. And say you couldn't pray, because I'm telling people over here that we study with, because Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, if you seek, you'll find. I tell people, you want to know the truth, the Lord says, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free, John 8 and 32, but you're going to have to seek it to find it. You pray to God to help you find the truth. Now, you can't pray for forgiveness of sin. You can't pray into heaven. You can't do it. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. But you can pray when it comes to finding the truth. You obey that truth that I just finished talking about. Obey it. In Christ is the forgiveness of sin, is the key. So none of us are perfect. I try to tell them, they say, well, Chuck, and that ties into another point just popped into my head, and that is, if a person says, well, Chuck, I can't become a Christian because I can't become like you or the person next to me. I see the members there at the River Ridge Church of Christ. I've been thinking about becoming a Christian, but I see these godly people, these godly ladies and these godly men, and they say, yeah, I just can't live up to that. I can't measure up to that. Well, remember the verses that we just read. There's not a person in here, folks, now get this, that has been baptized into Christ that is perfect, that doesn't sin. You get that? So there's no arrogance in here. If any of the members act like that, you remind them. What's that Romans chapter 12, verse 3 again say? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You see, there is such an importance of trying to get the gospel message out into this area and getting people into Christ, having people become Christians. We want to, at this stage of the game, we want to wear out Warren and Tina's hot tub. We want to wear that thing out. We won't wear it. But for now, it's what we're using, right? You can baptize people, immerse them in water. We can go anywhere, but I'm just saying it's warm, you know. And I know they wouldn't care. That's why I said that, folks. They didn't care when Nancy used it. So my point is, people need to become Christians. And there's urgency involved in that. But I understand, just like from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I know there are people that are going, I want to, but I think this. But they're even. They have put a wall there. That wall needs to get torn down. You know, my daughter, just a couple of questions. Just like that lady up north. You know, I've got this wall there. We sit down. Well, the answer for that is over here. She didn't think she had an answer for this question. I've got a question and nobody's been able to answer. That's what she said. I've got a question and nobody's been able to answer. I'm thinking to myself, did you ever ask it? Or did you just sit there and think it? Because I'm not a rocket scientist here. And so I'm thinking, here's your answer. And so Gloria, there's what it is. Oh, let's go. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That I don't know what it keeps people in their chairs. I don't know what keeps your friends when you want to teach them. But I do know that people will think the wrong thing because brethren think the wrong thing. That's why we study, folks. People get the wrong ideas all the time. That's why we have our Bible study. We had our Bible study this morning. Right? We ask questions, we get involved, we go, oh, I know that, and clear that up. And so you see where we're going with this. Well, but that's only the tip of the iceberg, folks. How are we doing on time? Got a long list here.
Yeah.
Well, here's a biggie. People may have visited with us. Okay? You go to Acts chapter 2, the latter part, after they obeyed. You know what scares some people? So I'll get in my chair. All right, I'm going to stay in my chair because you know what? I have a feeling that once I become a Christian, I'm going to be expected to do things. I can't do it. I've had people tell me that. I'm fearful. Some men have stayed in their seat. Boy, if I become a Christian, you think I'm getting up there and leading songs? You get nothing coming. I'm not doing. You want me to lead the Lord's table? I've never done that before. Guess what? Everybody that's done it could have said that. Never done that before. Every song leader. Ask Tony. Tony, was there ever a time you've never led songs? Yeah, I wasn't born a song leader. You know, that's the point. Everybody has to understand that principle that some people just don't get, and they create that fear. Now, in Acts chapter 2, when these people obeyed the gospel, I love this, because it says in verse 42, and they continued, well, let me back up, verse 41. Those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. What is it there that's pretty difficult? Let me see. To become a Christian, I got to keep learning. Well, is that hard? Mm-hmm. You afraid to learn? Well, no, that's how I got to this point in the first place. Yeah, not being afraid to learn. So you just, that's what's going to be expected of you. And it would be wrong for me to say that, you know, once you become a child of God, you come up out of the waters of baptism, get up, go on your way, and we can never see you again. Everything's fine. No. So I don't want to leave that misunderstanding. But there are things that need to follow you once you come up out of the waters of baptism, but they're not things that you can say to yourself, I can't do that. God is now going to expect things from me that I can't do. He won't do that. Not only will he not do that with temptation, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, he's not going to put anything before you can't face. He's talking about temptation there, but I'll tell you something else. It goes for our duties, our Christian duties. God is not going to ask you to do something you can't do. What did Jesus say? Matthew 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, Lord, you asked me to keep commandments I can't keep. Excuse me? Yeah, you've asked me to do something I can't physically do. What do you mean? If you can't physically, get this, if you can't physically get out of bed, God doesn't expect you to come. You see? God doesn't expect you. Pass the collection plate around.
I got no job. I'm looking. I'm just barely eking out a living with food.
I'm afraid he's going to expect me to give 10%. No. You are ignorant. You need to understand that that's Old Testament stuff. And we prosper. And he says you give according to what you have, not what you don't have. And so if you don't have, you don't give. But God knows your heart that you wish you could. I would if I could, but I can't. And so when you can, you do. And so the point is that we see here is that there are times when people get that idea that I can't do. Now here it is. I stop. What did he say? He said, they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine. Fellowship. I don't know if I can do fellowship. Fellowship just means joint participation. So you've joined in and you're singing songs today. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're not in fellowship with God. You're not in fellowship with the brethren, because that's on a spiritual level. For those who are in the family of God, we can go through the same motions. It's kind of like we've illustrated before. If little Lydia has a friend over in the house from school, whenever she's in school, but if she has a friend over, it's like they're not members of her family. It's not her sister. It's her friend from school. And so they can go through that. They can eat the same food, but they're not part of the family. And so we have people here, and we love them, and we're glad they're here, and your friends that you know, you care for them, but you're not in fellowship with them. But that's what happens when you become a Christian. Guess what? Now, when you sing, you pray, and you study, you're in fellowship with one another. Can you handle that? Well, I was doing that before, but now I'm actually in the family. It's like being adopted and then not being adopted. Here comes little Sally into the family, a physical family, let's say. Not adopted, okay? And then once adopted, now they call them mom and dad, and you're my sister. You see what happens? We're in a spiritual family. And so I'm trying to remove the fears that are there. But remember, we as God's people are commanded, and that's why I brought up the verse a little bit earlier. As babes desire the milk, they what? They grow. And you will grow. There'll be things that you will do later that you couldn't do at the beginning. And a child, there's going to come a time when Tabitha is going to crawl, and then she's going to walk, and then she's going to be able to run. And so don't put these expectations upon yourself and creating fears and prevent you from obeying the gospel and us conveying to our friends, look, your goal is to become a Christian. Don't worry about down the road is what people are thinking. You take one day at a time. And that brings us into a very important point. One of the reasons why people don't obey, because you know what they'll think? Some think, and your friends might think this, and your family might think this, that, you know what, if I don't obey, if I stay in my seat, I'll have time. What do you mean? Well, because there's no way Jesus is going to come back while I'm still learning. Excuse me? There's no way he's coming back while I'm still attending here or somewhere. You'll have time? How do you know that? You know, 1 Peter 3 and in verse 9, or excuse me, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, long-suffering us, where it's not willing that any should perish. Then he went on to talk about how the Lord is going to come. He's going to come like a thief in the night, but he will come. When is Jesus coming back? I have no idea. We're reading about people in Acts chapter 8. When did that take place? About 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years. Can you imagine? 2,000 years ago, we have a guy. Is it going to seem humorous to you that we have a guy 2,000 years ago saying, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Relax, buddy. He's not coming for another 2,000 years. No, he's thinking, just like we thought when we obeyed, he could come back at any time. We don't know. I don't want to miss heaven. If I'm going to stay in my seat thinking that, well, there's no way I'm going to have time, that's not a guarantee. You misunderstand. You are ignorant. You need to know that the Lord is not sitting there saying, well, you know, there's Fred. He's been coming in. I'm not coming back yet. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works, and that's why there's urgency, and that's why people respond to the invitation when they get a proper understanding, like those in Acts chapter 2. They're sitting there, brethren, men, and brethren, what shall we do? Do? Rush. Boy, there was rush. There was urgency. There's urgency in obeying the gospel. And people become complacent. And the only reason they become complacent is because they misunderstand things. They think things that are wrong. And that's going to cost people their salvation. It's going to cost them their soul, their opportunity of being in heaven. And for you and I, when we think about the responsibilities that we have, God doesn't want us holding off. And you know what's one I've actually heard before? It's been given to me. Now, it doesn't sound so much like a misunderstanding, something they don't know, although I'll try to word it that way. They were telling me, and I've had people tell me this, Chuck, you have no idea of my fear of water. It's real. Okay. So let me put it in line with this outline. It would be more of a person saying, I don't think God expects me to do something that I'm afraid of doing. Yikes. There's a lot of things that might scare us, cause fear. You may have a legitimate fear of water. But let me explain something to you, which I did. Folks, I think I told some of you before. You know, when I had to baptize some folks, we're up in Canada. We were in the apartment there with some Chinese folks. Language barrier. I sat down on the floor. I did. I said, here's what's going to happen. They had no idea. You know, you mentioned baptism. What's that? And especially if you have a fear of water. I actually sat down and I said, now picture there's, you know, I was sitting like this on the floor, though. And I said, now picture water up to my waist. And I'm in water. And they can visualize it. Okay. Now what happens is somebody's going to pinch their nose. Okay, the water doesn't go up it. You know, you say, well, that's kind of silly, Chuck. You're preaching on this. People just don't know this. I said, you know what? I pinch your nose and I put your hand behind your head. And what I do is I get you to sit on your hands because I don't want your hands flying up. You need to be buried. You want your feet flying up. I always usually have somebody holding their knees. We did that with Nancy. And I said, I'm going to lower you down and bring you up. You need to be immersed. Instant relief for them. Why? Oh, you're bringing me back up. Well, yeah. I'm not going to leave you down there and wait for the bubbles to come up. That's not the way it works. What is this? It's an immersion. It's a burial. That's what happened with Jesus. You're not going down there for 3 days. Okay, but Jesus was 3 days, and he resurrected, and that's what Romans 6 was. We're buried with Christ. We rise up in newness of life. You're born again right there. And I'll tell you, people say, what's going to happen over here? What's going to happen over here? You're going to feel wet. Seriously, you're not going to hear voices from heaven. Really, you're not going to hear the angels sing, although the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Because this is a serious thing. These guys, you know, these people are so concerned about their transgression, they want their sins washed away by the blood of Christ. No, there's no power in the water. And that might be another thing. I just can't see any power in the water. No, there isn't. There is no power. You need to understand that. People are misunderstanding that. People I've studied with, the group that I came out of, they kept telling me that. Chuck, you'll never convince me there's power in the water. Good. I hope I never convince you of that. Because there isn't any. Why would I try to convince you of something that isn't so? There's no power in the water. Where's the power? The blood of Christ and his word. It's his word. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. I told you guys, if the word of God said stand on a chair and jump down and land on a foot, your sins are gone, I'd do it if it said it, but it didn't say it. Whatever it says, that's walking by faith, folks. But faith comes by hearing the word. Oh, that's our whole point today. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Friend, don't want you to when you become a child of God, of how you do it, what happens afterwards, what's all involved, don't act as if you have a seatbelt on your chair that won't come undone. I can't do it. Why? There will be people
who will miss heaven for not taking 10 minutes out of their life. Said, I don't understand why 10 minutes out of my life would make a whole lot of difference. Okay, Tabitha, we want a child, and we want you to go to school, we want to have grandchildren, we want to talk with you, we want to walk, we want to take you to the park, we want to do all this stuff, Tabitha, but don't be born. Mm-hmm. Got to be born. Can't stay in your mom's womb forever. You just can't stay there. You've got to be born. And there are people who just say, you know what, I don't have to be born again. Yeah, you do. You do. If you're not born again, you're lost. You have zero hope. You have crucified the Lord, as the Hebrew writer said. You have crucified Jesus. Can you live with that? The reason why I was baptized and others here were baptized, because they couldn't live with it anymore, that they crucified Jesus. You have crucified Jesus. It's like you have nailed. Come on over here. Could I call your name? Would you feel comfortable with me? Say, bring me that hammer. We're going to nail Christ's hands. Are you comfortable with that? I didn't do that. Listen, you transgressed the Lord. You've separated yourself from Him. Sin is that bad. And you need to get out of that. And you need to turn and follow Him. That's the key. Put on Christ. Help your friends to understand that, folks. Help your family to understand that. Help your neighbors to understand that. Because that's the commission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission by Jesus Himself. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. What's that mean? If you don't do it, you're not saved. It's that serious. Don't listen to Satan. Satan says, wait, you've got to learn more. Well, I don't know. You can come forward or after Bible study class today, say, I've got this question. You might be like my daughter who's heard the invitation for years. Something needs to be cleared up. Ask it. Ask it. Nip it. Get the knowledge. Don't be ignorant, folks. It cost you your salvation. Cost your friend's salvation. Understand that they have created these false fears. Do your part to help them. And let's do our part to make sure that we're right with the Lord. And in a moment, Tony's going to be leading us in an invitation song. I want to ask you, are you a Christian? Did you obey the gospel the way we talked about it today? If you haven't, here's the good news. Here's the good news. You can become one today. We'll get in that car, and so fast, we will drive to Warren and Tanner. Is that okay, Warren? It's okay. We'll drive right on over. Straight over. Whoever wants to come, doesn't matter who comes. Ethiopian, just him and the preacher. It's not a ceremony. I didn't even talk about that one. Oh, I could have brought one. It's going to be the, well, Chuck, I'm afraid of people, and do I have to come in front of people? It's going to be embarrassing. You know, look, wait till I have services. And you can say, like Nancy did, I want to get baptized. Oh, but Nancy didn't come forward. It's not a real invitation. Where's that in the Bible? You know, people get this idea in their head. You know, it's got to be a ceremony. And as Nancy, did you have on a white garment? Nope, it was blue. Well, is that scripture? Folks, look, a lot of you got these misunderstandings about being baptized. You just have to be immersed in water, enough water. You have a bathtub that's deep enough. As long as you can get immersed in it, folks, you're fulfilling the commands of God. You say, well, that seems kind of silly to do it. I want to do it in a river. That's fine. But it's the blood of Christ, folks. Get this. It's the Word of God. And we're smiling right now, but there's nothing funny about losing heaven and spending eternity in hell. So, where are you? You're subject in any way. Let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
All things are ready.
Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Come, hear the invitation. Soever will, all things are.
There's nothing else that needs to be brought up. We'll have a closing prayer at this time.
Well, dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day of coming together with our family to worship thee once again, to sing songs of praises unto thee, and to study another portion of thy word. We're especially thankful, dear Father, for our Lord and Savior Jesus, who he was freely willing to come upon this earth and to give his life in our stead. And we reflect back this day, dear Father, upon the cross of Calvary and the suffering and pain and agony that he went through on our behalf. We're so thankful for his love for us and for his blessed example and the life that he lived, a life free from all sin and temptations that came his way. And we want to pattern our life after his, dear Father. We pray that our love for you and will continue to grow in our love for one another. We're here for just a very short time upon this earth, and we pray that our lights will so shine in the time that you have given us that we can be an influence to help lead those that are lost to you. We pray, dear Father, for those tools that we are using to reach out to the lost, for the correspondence courses and radio programs and the TV programs that others might hear something that's being said that they will want to turn from their sinful life, dear Father, to turn to thee. We pray, dear Father, for those that are not with us this day, for those that are sick, that you lay your healing hand upon them and nurture them back to the much one portion of your good health once again. Might be with us next point in time. And for those that are traveling, dear Father, we pray that they have a safe journey. We ask your blessings, dear Father, upon the elders of this congregation. They have such a tremendous responsibility. Thank you for their love to want to serve thee, and we pray that we will always hold them in high esteem and love for their work's sake. Be with us now as we depart from this place, and pray that we might return at the next appointed time. And forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
Amen.